sucks.
Oh, I forget the words. I only listened to the song once. It's a catchy tune.
It is.
Dern, dern.
Dern, 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 dern. You should have said, can you take every inch? Are you recording?
Yeah. For life.
The following podcast is a Hell in the Cell match to decide the controller and CEO of Podzilla 1985. And if you think that's ridiculous, it's not as ridiculous as what we saw on Monday Night Raw. Hey, it's Pro Wrestling Unscripted with Shannon Young, your host, once again, back this week on February 24th. And we got nothing to talk about, but we're going to make a show about it anyway, because the few things we do have to talk about are so ridiculous that they'll have your blood boiling. Next to me are my panel, as always, the esteemed panel of Podzilla 1985's Pro Wrestling Unscripted, Dalton Manch.
Yo.
Asa Gray.
Five-star man.
I didn't call myself Mr. 100. He shouldn't be allowed to call himself the five-star man.
I need a better nickname.
You have plenty of nicknames.
I don't have any good ones. I can't yell out like...
Allie doesn't have a single nickname.
Good for her. She's better than
me. She's the producer.
Me.
She has a title. She doesn't have a nickname.
And Allie Hebert.
Hello.
Who gave us that wonderful intro. We have a rule around Podzilla 1985 when Shannon's hosting. Don't say anything embarrassing, because he's usually recording. I'm going to sip my Pepsi while she
complains. Especially I didn't finish.
Especially because there's microphones directly in front of your faces.
Right in front of your face.
Yeah, and like, I don't want to make fun of you for that.
You
but
can't.
How
considering you do that every week.
Why have you not learned from me?
I didn't actually finish the sentence.
I mean, there's
because you continue talking.
We expect more from you, Allie. It's yeah, we understand when Dalton does it because it's Dalton.
Yeah, like,
but we hold you to a higher standard.
Price 2016.
Hashtag new price.
New price. The new price gun.
The price is wrong.
Hashtag the price is finally right.
I like that. We're going to get right into this and talk about Fastlane. It happened on Sunday.
I actually took notes too.
Did you really?
During the show?
Yeah, during the show.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
because someone did their homework.
Well, because stuff like stood out to me that I felt worth mentioning.
Dalton, you got something to say already.
Yes. Fans, just so you know, the first inaugural PZ85 Predictions Championship, after I did the math and realized you were lazy and didn't give me the falls of the Alberto Del Rio Kalisto match, I did ask for him. Our champion for Fastlane into WrestleMania is Asa Gray.
No.
Yay.
No. You're going to give it to him on a technicality?
Technically right is the best kind of right.
Well, that's technically right. Wait.
So Asa is our champion. I'm going to get a belt for him.
What?
He's gonna have a belt. He's gonna have it sit in front of him. It's gonna be a great visual gag for the audio podcast. It's also very fitting that Asa gets it.
Why is it fitting that Asa gets it?
Because that's his thing. He always says visual gag for the audio podcast. The copyright Asa Gray. But yeah,
Shannon is looking at me with actual fire in his eyes. he really wanted that thing that he didn't care about at all.
Well, once you told me there was a belt involved, now I want it. Although it won't fit.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not going to fit any of us.
I'm assuming it's one of those, like, plastic kid replica belts that he's going to get on clearance or, like, dumpster dive from.
Yeah, we need to get a 1980, or, like, our logo, like, thing so I can put it over the Intercontinental belt that I'm going to get at my place of work.
Or just take a belt and give it to him.
But it's like a normal belt.
It wouldn't be big. That's going to be more expensive than this kid belt.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so Asa is going to be our champion up until WrestleMania. I don't know if that's going to get
me. I really want to go into the Paul Heyman. I will be champion as long as I damn well please. Well,
in all honesty, in serious talk, the reason that Asa is the champion is because Fastlane was so predictable.
Yep.
And that's what we're going to talk about. Fastlane was predictable. It is the last stop on the road to WrestleMania. I've always wanted to use that term in a professional setting.
Mm-hmm.
I've always wanted to say the road to WrestleMania. I finally get to say it and it was awful. I thought Fastlane was awful. Like, not awful from a wrestling standpoint. Because the wrestling was fine.
It's the same thing we said about the Rumble and whatever the pay-per-view was before that.
It's just too predictable.
It's just, yeah, it's everything. Like, the matches themselves were good and entertaining. It's just the stories behind them were completely lacking.
And you know what's really bad? And I'm sorry to say this. I don't remember who won the Rumble. It was Triple H because he won the title. Boy, I blocked that out of my memory. And now it's back. Thank God.
We'll get to more on that later.
Which song?
Don't worry about
it.
But no, so, but, like, if I would have won the championship, it would have been a lot more interesting of a show because, like, I had Ambrose winning. I had.
Oh, yeah,
well,
no. Yeah.
I offered to switch my answer to Ambrose so Ace and I wouldn't have the same picks. But it's so obvious that Roman Reigns was going to win. I didn't want to lose my money.
You know, there wasn't any money involved.
Well, virtual money.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to be out
money. Bitcoin.
Yeah. Bitcoin. And it was just, it was bad. I don't want to talk about every match, you know, from top to bottom, but just overall, I thought the show was great wrestling, but just so predictable. And that is the biggest problem with WWE now, which they addressed on Raw with a very big return that we'll get to after this show, after this part. I'm going to start off with your guys' thoughts on this before we get into what the fans are thinking. Let's start with Allie as the non-wrestling fan of the panel, or at least you're the newest fan.
Yeah.
You're the noob. What did you think of the show? Because you watched it with us. How was your thoughts? What were your thoughts on it?
Really, the only thing I remember is New Day.
Which, from what I read, a lot of people said was one of the worst parts of the show. They said it was absolutely pointless, had no place there.
But it was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
Which is the whole point of the show.
Yeah, the point of wrestling is to be entertained.
And that was the part of the pay-per-view that had the least, like, pretty much everything else was followed up on Raw, except for that.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said it was pointless.
So it, yeah.
And in a show where you have a 20-minute New Day segment that goes nowhere, and then you have a pointless Curtis Axel versus R-Truth match to push this angle with R-Truth and Goldust that no one cares about, but you had to bump a great match like Kalisto versus Del Rio to the pre-show.
Which, that was something, like, a couple things that I really wanted to talk about from that match was Kalisto's entrance. And his, like, full-on green Power Ranger look was amazing.
Zach Kurgis is smiling.
He looked awesome. And also for the pre-show, because you didn't see it, because you came in late. The pre-show, the announced team was JBL, Byron Saxton, and Rinaldo. I always get his name wrong. Instead of Michael Cole. And it was incredible. He is going to be such a breath of fresh air for SmackDown. That I really
assuming they keep him.
Assume they have to. He does such a good job. Like I.
Well, so did Mike Adamle, and you. Sorry.
No.
That's
being
a joke.
Being
That's
serious.
A joke. That's
being
a joke.
Serious. Like he's an actual legit great announcer, and they actually had a legitimate argument about the match between him and JBL because the first fall went to Kalisto because Del Rio got himself intentionally disqualified.
You know,
and one of the things that they brought out is he's like, why would you automatically put yourself down a pin? And then JBL's like, you lose the battle to win the war. And then they actually had like a...
Which is insightful.
Which was actually insightful and went with the psychology of the match. And it's amazing that when the commentary is doing a good job, how much better it makes the match.
Yeah. Well, I wonder how much of Michael Cole being bad...
Is Vince.
Because Michael Cole is a legitimate award-winning journalist who would probably do a great job if he could just do his job. But you remember Mick Foley talking about how when he was on SmackDown briefly as an announcer, that he couldn't stand having Vince McMahon in his ear yelling at him 24/7, telling him what to say.
Yeah.
So I wonder if Michael Cole was given the chance to be himself, would it be better, or is he just a bad announcer?
I know.
Because him and Taz
go back and watch,
were great.
Him and Taz were great. Go and watch The Beast in the East. Vince wasn't there. And the commentary was amazing.
Yeah.
And
I mean, I remember that, yeah. When you have to plug, and I'm not defending the WWE announce team because I'm just as sour on them as everybody else is, but whenever you have to plug the stupid WWE network.
Oh, yeah.
Whenever, well, not stupid, but like when you have to plug stuff all the time, when you have to say how great Diet Mountain Dew is, when you have to.
And no one would say that in real life except Billy. Oh.
He's not here.
But yeah, like, I mean, they could get a better announce team. I like Rinaldo a lot. I don't, if we're butchering your name, we're sorry. But like he did Pride Fighting Championship with Boss Rutten.
Yeah.
And watch any of that stuff. He is a fantastic call guy.
He is. Yeah. You know, they tried to get, originally years ago, they tried to get, what was the guy from UFC? Not Joe Rogan, but the other one. Goldberg?
I can't, yeah.
Yeah,
Mike Goldberg. They tried to get him and he turned him down for obvious reasons. Like, why would you leave UFC for WWE?
Right.
Especially when UFC's so hot. But aside from the commentating, the show itself, what did you think, Asa?
I mean, the overall pay-per-view.
Just the overall pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean, like we
did
said.
Did it leave a bad taste in your mouth at the end of the night?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Only because it's, you know, you kind of allow yourself to think, oh, they're going to do something different. Like, they're going to do something
every
fresh with it.
Every pay-per-view we
because
say that.
Because they have every show. It feels like every time we go into one of these pay-per-views, we know what they're going to do. But they leave it to where it's like, oh, well, what if they end up doing this? Like, we come up with, like, six other alternatives.
Yeah.
that would make for way better storytelling.
Well, we come up with those alternatives.
Instead of just what's safe and what they want to do.
We come up with those alternatives, but we also say, that's what we want to happen. Here's what's gonna happen.
Right.
And then we give the most basic outcome, which is what it is.
And that's how that's the only reason I won the prediction game. Is because I didn't go with what I wanted to happen.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Dalton, what about you? Before we get into Asa's notes, what did you think of the show?
I enjoyed the show. But like, it was predictable. My biggest gripe, Reigns could have won and I'd have been fine if the ending would have been better. It just seemed like it was a very bland ending. We were just like, oh, he's going to kick out. And then he hit the three.
On the first spear after Reigns kicks out of Ambrose's finisher.
Well, what I don't understand is Ambrose hit Roman Reigns with the chair, six times?
Two or three. He didn't hit him as many times as he did with
He went after Lesnar mostly.
He went after Lesnar.
But he didn't use it on Roman.
Which, by the way, and we'll get into this, but what a great – the main event was great, and the story was that they had to team up to take Lesnar out, then they could fight each other was a great story. That is good stuff.
Yeah.
But the ending where you hit Roman Reigns with three chairs, and then he just gets right back up and hits you with a spear and pins you, is ridiculous. I get that they kick out of finishers now. If you're on a pay-per-view, you have to hit at least three finishers unless you're Dean Ambrose, then you only take one. But to hit somebody with a object, which is supposed to do more damage, they're devastating hits with the chair, and then just immediately spear him and win. That is terrible. And we got a couple comments on the Facebook page. I want to read real quick before we get into your notes, Asa. Our old friend Aaron Picard, the MVP of Podzilla 1985, by far.
We need to get him on a show.
We do. It would be great. He wanted Cody and Tanner's thoughts on this. Daniel Bryan is the WWE's Sandy Koufax. Cody and Tanner did not reply, despite the fact that Tanner's online right now. I could message him right now, but he's not replying to it. What do you guys think about Bryan being Sandy Koufax? He's a baseball player.
I was going to say, I'll be honest. Like, I know he's a baseball player, but I don't know anything about his career or...
I mean,
that's probably why they wanted Cody and Tanner now.
Yeah.
We're not really the biggest baseball fans here at Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Now, if you're saying like...
We watch wrestling.
If you're saying Daniel Bryan is the WWE's Barry Sanders, I will agree that he retired way too early because he could have had a good 4 or 5 more years in him. I don't know enough about Sandy Koufax. I'm assuming that's what he means. The difference is Barry Sanders retired by choice. Daniel Bryan retired because he had to.
I think Daniel Bryan is this era's Chris Nowinski.
No.
Okay.
I'm going to say no. If I was going to say he was anybody, I would say he was this generation's Bret Hart.
No. Shawn Michaels. I think he could have been this generation's Shawn Michaels.
If you combine Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels into one good wrestler.
Well, like, no.
Who's a better wrestler, Daniel Bryan or Shawn Michaels? In your opinion.
Who's a better wrestler?
Is it too close that you can't say?
It's just, and honestly, like, and I hate saying this, but I feel like we were robbed out of so many of what could have been some great matches with Daniel Bryan.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
but,
no doubt.
There's clearly similarities between the two, but we talked a lot about that a couple weeks ago.
We finally want to talk about Daniel Bryan, and you're going
to
not
take
the
because I wanted to get through Fastlane and Raw. All right,
so anyway.
Real quick, Dalton.
We keep getting sidetracked.
I would say Daniel Bryan, because like even CM Punk made this comparison, and I'm biased towards CM Punk. I would say that Daniel Bryan is more Bret Hart, and CM Punk would be more the Shawn Michaels of the two. Because like those are our two great wrestlers, like our two great wrestlers of our generation.
I think where Shawn Michaels and CM Punk really differ, though, is the drug abuse.
Yeah.
Okay.
But Daniel Bryan, not the best mic guy compared to the counterpart of CM Punk, but.
I just don't think he was given enough of a chance to be.
Yeah.
Because every time he did like an impassioned promo, it worked really well.
Yeah, he would win the crowd over.
Him coming out of the Wyatt's thing, him going up against any of those promos he had against Triple H.
The problem with that is that Daniel Bryan would probably have never been allowed to cut a good promo in WWE normally because everything is scripted to the T. Yeah. And when you have scripting to the T, then you're going to have promos that sound forced, which is most of wrestling now.
Well, and I think that's the difference between like say Daniel Bryan and Roman Reigns. Like Roman Reigns, his personality, I think, would lend itself more to being a heel.
Yeah.
So that might be why they're not just letting him going out and being himself. Cause like, they just posted something, someone just posted on Reddit about The Rock did this interview about the first time that he was really booed and how he kind of had to adapt and that's how he turned into The Rock and all this.
Which was fantastic.
Right. Yeah. And so whereas Daniel Bryan is such a genuinely likable guy that
even when he was a heel.
He was still
a face.
Right. And so it's one of those things where I think they kind of probably gave him a little bit more leeway to just go out and be himself because of just how genuinely likable and charismatic he is as a person.
Yeah.
You know, not even necessarily as a wrestler, but just as a human being. He's just that very, there's just something about him you want to like.
Like Bayley.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even being funny. No, like Bayley. No, yeah. Yeah. She's just likable. Like, you look at her and you smile.
Right.
I can't think of a single other wrestler, female wrestler on the roster that makes me feel that way.
Well, for different reasons.
No, that didn't sound right. Josh Shields, an old friend of mine, says Fastlane was 2 hours of quality wrestling and pretty good storytelling, aside from the Wyatts and the Titans.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that. And 1 hour of excrement, we'll say.
Which, and I mean, and like we said, you know, I don't think anyone's complaining about any of the wrestling on that.
The wrestling was great, top to bottom.
Other than Ryback almost breaking and Luke Harper's shoulder.
Brie was a little sloppy. But, I mean, I heard someone else say, well, I think it was Adam from What Culture, said that she's the less talented of the two Bellas, which I always thought was the opposite. I thought Brie was the better wrestler than Nikki, but apparently Nikki has gained some bit of respect from the internet wrestling community. Who would have thought? You know? He also said the Edge and Christian spot started good, but then fell flat. All right. WTF. I'm trying not to say the F word on these shows anymore. We got to clean it up if we're going to go global. WTF is with the R-Truth Goldust storyline. Nothing.
I already told you.
It's pointless. Plus, that match just sucked all life from everything. Of course it did. It's a comedown match.
That's the thing, you say, you know, oh, well, we could have put Kalisto and Del Rio on the show, but the purpose of that is to give the crowd a break in between the big segment with New Day and the
give them something main to event. Not care about, basically. Yeah. So they're calm from when something cool happens, they can cheer again.
Yeah.
Which seems dumb, but I mean, they've used that forever.
Yeah.
The main event was pretty solid. Cool spots with Lesnar and the announce tables and the double German. The thing that bugged me the most is pretty much no sell from Roman on the chair shots. Absolutely, Josh.
Yep. Yeah.
Gets hit 3 to 4 times, then spear. That's my rant. Miss you all. Miss you too.
Yeah,
He's
me too, Josh.
Absolutely right. He's absolutely right. You should not take 3 to 4 hits with a chair and then immediately get back
up. It's not as bad as like the Cena completely tearing apart Justin Gabriel and Wade Barrett after getting DDT'd on the concrete, but
still, it's not what happened to selling? Like, they need to sell these things, you know?
Yeah.
Chris Edelman said 2 women's matches. How often does that happen?
Which in that the come down match that we had with R-Truth and Curtis Axel, wasn't a Divas match. That's usually the spot, almost exclusively. And not only was it not the Divas match, Divas opened the pay per view.
Yeah, well, look at the Divas involved in the show: Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, Tamina, Naomi, Brie, and Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, those are some big names. So it's not the usual Alicia Fox versus
Rosa.
Random insert diva here. Like, these are actual names. They're actual wrestlers. So I can see why they made an emphasis on the Divas wrestling on this. Even though it was the Sasha match was pointless, it was another pointless match. It was filler.
I still don't agree with that.
Depends on where they go. But where did they go on Monday?
Not much progression, but they have six, but they have 6 weeks until WrestleMania.
They do. And I really hope the build up to WrestleMania is better. And we'll get to that.
Yeah.
You know, Asa, you got some notes there.
So yeah. That was one of the things I want to talk about is how the Divas tag match was the show opener, not counting the pre-show, which I thought was huge.
Yeah.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
Really good match. And then I'm also really glad that they didn't do a Sasha walked out on Becky or vice versa. They actually.
No, they saved that for Ryback on Raw.
Yeah. And like they worked together well as a team.
We'll feed your baby, bro.
They worked together. They showed like actual, not teammanship.
Teamwork.
Jesus.
I like the term teammanship.
It's been a long day, friends.
That's hashtag, hashtag copyright Ace
but so they,
hashtag teammanship.
So they worked well together, and it was overall it was a good match. Like, I enjoyed it. Naomi did those crazy, like, jumping kicks for, like, a solid 30 seconds.
What an underrated talent she is.
And it's one of those things where it's like, if you look at the Divas roster right now, it's incredibly strong, and it's just so sad to see that, like, all the fans recognize, like, how good they all are, and then they don't really get the time that they deserve. I mean, and granted, Fastlane was a great step, but, you know, NXT, the women's championship gets to main event one of their specials.
Yeah.
You're never going to see that on.
No, the last time a women's match main evented a show.
Trish Stratus versus Lita.
Yeah. And can I go off on a quick tangent real quick? You said how strong the Divas roster is.
Mm-hmm.
How strong is the WWE roster? When you've got people like, I mean, just to name off a couple. On NXT and Raw, Kevin Owens, Samoa Joe, Finn Balor, Tyler Breeze, why not? That's not who I was trying to think of. Austin Aries is who I was trying to think of. AJ Styles. This is the strongest roster I've ever seen the WWE have.
Well,
and how sad is it that the show is so predictable and boring with such great talent?
And they have all these people that they could honestly build the company around
easily.
But it's just the stubbornness that it's like, nope, Roman.
Which, again, we will address because they addressed it on Raw.
And we've talked about it before. Like, you know, everyone was saying the Royal Rumble was going to be awful because everyone was hurt. They only had, like, they didn't have any, like, people that didn't belong there.
No. One surprise entrant,
and
which
was AJ.
AJ.
Yeah. And so the roster is very strong, even with all these injuries. It's just kind of a shame that no one is allowed to be more popular than Roman Reigns.
Yeah, the straw. The roster is strong. The writing is weak.
Yeah.
And I've never realized how much wrestling depends on writing until lately. Mm-hmm. Like when the wrestling is so good every card, but I still don't care because the story's not there. Mm-hmm. The storylines are terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But Becky Lynch, Sasha Banks beat Team Bad, the remaining of Team Bad, which that's to get them looking strong for the seemingly triple threat that we're hoping for.
And hopefully Team Bad is done.
I disagree with that. I like Naomi and Tamina together.
Naomi be in the mix though as a singles wrestler.
I think right now they're just focusing on the Divas Revolution.
NXT Divas.
Yeah. I mean, I would be cool with it if they weren't Team Bad and it was Tamina in Naomi's corner.
Like as an enforcer.
Yeah.
Give her like the Shawn Michaels, Kevin Nash role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that would be great because Tamina works best as a bodyguard. She's not the best wrestler, but she is big and strong and she's got a great heritage.
Yeah.
Well, she did until Jimmy Snuka murdered his girlfriend. That's a black eye.
Now she's just Tamina.
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a point.
So.
Allie, I have to ask you real quick. You're a woman.
Yes, I am.
How do you feel about women's wrestling versus the guys out there? Like, as a woman, what is your perspective on it? Do you think they are as good as the male counterparts, or do you think that there is a reason that the women are usually in filler spots?
Well, I think most of the audience that wrestling is geared towards is males. And
no doubt.
Yeah. And the main purpose of Divas, whenever you're gearing towards that certain group of people, is put a whole bunch of girls in tiny clothing and have them fight each other. Doesn't really matter what is going on with the story, they'll be distracted, is probably what most of them are thinking. While the people that have the stories are the males, because they're not going to be distracted by...
But to be fair, the men wear as little clothing as the women.
Yes.
You know.
I've made that argument before.
Yeah. Now, you've been watching wrestling for a while now with us and with the gang. Do you see women's wrestling now different than when you started watching it? Like this Divas Revolution, has it changed in your eyes or is it the same thing, just in a different spot, different people?
It's kind of the same, just...
And that's the problem. And she's absolutely right. Well, it is. I mean,
and honestly, there hasn't been a whole lot of actual change until recently. Like with the last two feuds that Charlotte's had. Like that's really been the first inkling of something different.
And it was Charlotte.
Yeah.
Surprisingly, not Paige.
Not that surprising. Well, yeah, I guess if you consider Paige.
Which Paige? I don't even know what is she doing now.
She lost to Summer Rae on Raw last week. And then they had a rematch. I don't remember who won that on main event. And then they just didn't do anything.
Dalton, I'm right there with you. I'm signed to.
I like Paige way more than Summer Rae, but I really like Summer Rae too.
I also like Summer Rae, but I mean, from a wrestling purist standpoint, Paige is technically superior. But I like Nikki Bella. So
I was gonna say, from a wrestling purist standpoint, you didn't like AJ.
I like Hulk Hogan.
But yeah.
Oh, did you see AJ was on WWE.com?
No.
They had an interview with a bunch of people about NXT's beginnings, and she was one of the people they talked to about it, which is really odd considering everything that's happening.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think their issue is with AJ. And I don't think WWE has
WWE has always carpet bombed.
Yeah.
Guilty by association.
And well, not only that, but AJ also seemed to be really standing by CM Punk through all this, so I'm surprised she agreed to it.
It's crazy that she stands by her husband.
Yeah.
That's
weird. Like, I mean, if you say carpet bombing, like, with any association, that would also take out Luke Gallows, who's going to be in the WWE. Because, like, if you talk about somebody that has a really deep connection with
I don't think it's as deep as CM Punk and AJ. Like,
no. But what I'm saying is, like, half of their issues with CM Punk, the other half is with Colt Cabana, because... I mean, they're both in a lawsuit because of it. And, I mean, if you want somebody as thick as thieves with Colt Cabana, it's Luke Gallows.
Well, it's true. It's true. But, I mean, if I had a lawsuit against me with somewhere, would my significant other...
Working for that company.
Talk to that. Like, if Lonnie sued me for I don't know, for something, and he's trying to get money from me, would you help sell things for him? No, probably not. You know?
And then that would be like him like hiring me and Asa after the lawsuit.
Yeah, right? And then be like, you know, here's some money.
Yeah.
Dance, monkey.
So the second match of the show was Ziggler and Owens. Owens retains. Really nasty Ziggler shoulder, like, got caught in the rope
for that
tackle. That looked, yeah. Also, I just want to point out two things. JBL said the phrase super kick party.
He did. And we pointed that out on the show. Yeah. In fact, I was playing Street Fighter 5.
Yeah.
And I heard it.
Five?
And I stopped.
Five?
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 Go ahead, Ali.
Who?
Say five.
I'm good.
Okay.
Because it's like, did he just say that?
Did he say super kick party?
I think we looked at each other. Yeah. I was like, they need to start suing more.
How good is Owens? His constant trash talk, like, in the ring, while in the middle of matches.
Didn't he tell Ziggler,
they like me more
than you? Yeah.
Yeah, just, he's wonderful.
I hope he keeps that title all the way to WrestleMania before he loses it to the Big Show.
Oh, Jim Cornette was so right about him saying he'd never sell anything.
Sarcasm.
Yeah.
Sarcasm, okay.
The match after that was probably, this probably made me madder than the main event. Kane, Big Show, and Ryback versus the New Gods. How fucking cool is that? Oh, but they lost because it's the Wyatts, and doesn't matter. They can't win a match ever.
To be fair, the show Kane and
Ryback
team is bigger.
Physically.
They have more muscles.
Have you seen Braun Strowman?
I have.
He's big.
It wouldn't make me as mad because I expected it. I think I said the Wyatts would win because I really wanted them to, but I expected that the WWE would pull crap like that. And I knew if they did the following night on Raw,
they would just get
the
rematch.
They would just go reverse
it.
Which they did.
But they still didn't win clean.
Predictable.
They had to have Kane point to Ryback so he would remember his cue to leave.
Why did Ryback leave?
Because
what is the point of that when just the night before he stood with them and fought with them with no dissension?
Because he has to stop being part of tag teams. He needs to start looking out for number one, which is Ryback. That's literally what he said. Now he's going to be a heel.
Go on with the rest of the show.
I'm not done fucking talking about that, because are you kidding me? Why? Why do Kane, Big Show, and Ryback need the win over the Wyatts?
And you're a Kane fan.
I'm a huge Kane fan.
You're a huge Kane fan.
But Kane is better. Like, okay, so every time I bitch about the Wyatts losing again, you're always like, well, no, they're a group that can keep their heat. They don't necessarily need to win every single feud.
Did I say that?
You and I know Hunter also agreed. Like, Hunter agreed with me and you at the same time, like, whenever we talked about it, because he equal parts, like, yeah, no, but they are always a threat, in quotes.
Yeah.
But at what point do you stop believing it because they can never win a match?
They're only threats when they run in.
So, and then,
they're only threats when they need them to look strong briefly until they lose again.
Right. And so, one, I hate that Ryback does the CM Punk running knee.
Oh.
Fuck you. That is just so disrespectful.
That,
I get that Punk trashed you on the show.
Like, okay.
Was Punk wrong? We watched that table spot. I remember watching that live and,
like,
being like, wow.
They complain about, like, his complaint is that he's an unsafe wrestler. And he's like, oh, I'm not unsafe. I'm going to do this move to stick it to you. And then he drops Luke Harper on his head because he can't even do his finisher correctly.
All right.
He made no effort to lift his hand to hold his head. We didn't even think it was the shell shocked. We're like, wait, that's the end of the match? Why? That wasn't a finisher.
Hold on. Okay, go ahead, Dalton.
Can
get
we talk
first.
About how he almost dropped himself on the head doing those running knees? And then you had the gall to be like, does the knee better. CM Punk never almost went over the
it's
rope.
It's amazing
because
you're literally like, oh, he does it better than CM Punk. And literally the next one he did, he almost put himself over the top rope.
Now, to be fair, Asa, please remind, he didn't see it. I started winking at you because I was very clearly just trying to agitate him.
Eventually. I don't think it started that way.
No, it was.
I think you saw how angry I got during it.
I was trying to agitate both of you, but I realized that I at least needed one of you to verify.
I didn't want to play along with that bit. I didn't like
you
that
didn't.
Bit.
You looked like, even after I winked at you and I kept going,
I, like,
you were getting angry.
This is still not funny.
And I'm like, no, I'm just messing with Dalton.
And the thing
I have, right, let me just say, I have no problem with him doing the running knees.
Well,
I don't.
You're wrong.
No, because as a little, like, if it was me and I was in that situation, I would have fun with it too. I'd give a little FU to CM Punk. Now, is Ryback a good wrestler? No. Is he dangerous? Yes. I don't have a problem with him doing the knee, but I have a problem with everything else you're saying. With you, is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
No, yeah.
But him doing the running knee doesn't bother me because, like, I know it's a rib only in Ryback's mind, But oh well, it's harmless. And it was one of the only things in that match to get a reaction. Was it a great reaction? Probably not.
No.
But the fact that he did it, it's kind of funny.
I don't think it's funny.
I thought it was kind of funny.
I don't think it's funny.
But I'm an asshole, so.
I almost ended your career prematurely. I know I'm going to steal a move.
You know, and honestly, if they're
you
trying-
You sound just like him.
I don't even want to talk about it.
So
why? What's the next?
And then they, why did the Wyatts lose? Why? Why? Why?
I don't know.
Why?
Big Show needed another win after that podcast he did with Austin.
Why? Why?
You're both getting so angry now.
I am.
No.
Because it,
how many times,
I know what happens on Raw too, and it makes me even madder.
How many times have you seen, you've been watching me watch wrestling here for, I don't know, 4 or 5 months now?
Yeah.
How many times have I ever thrown something in anger? Once, whenever they lost that match. I was so mad about it. And I don't, like, I got really excited when AJ Styles showed up. That was like the first time I was around you guys that I showed emotion while watching wrestling.
Look, it's ridiculous that the Wyatts lost. Absolutely. Like, no doubt about it. But are you surprised?
A little.
Yes!
A little. Because, and it goes back to us talking about, like, oh no, we, you know, we go in expecting maybe they'll do something right. They could do something good.
But they hardly ever do.
Because the Wyatt family is a, I've said it before, they are a license to print money.
They are, but you also have to remember, maybe not so much with Ryback, but with Kane and Big Show, the Vince McMahon, whoever it is, has such a affinity for them that they put them over people that deserve better.
Which,
and, constantly.
And
Big Show especially.
And going back when, because you said I am such a huge Kane fan, I am a huge Kane fan. But the, my problem with it is Bray Wyatt is too new for him to be able to just lose every single match and still be taken seriously. Kane is a 20 something year veteran. He can afford those losses.
Yep. But I think you're looking at it from a fan's perspective, which is right because that's what we are. But hear me out. No, hear me out. Everybody's looking at me funny.
The Vince McMahon perspective.
The Vince McMahon perspective
is
that
why aren't you Roman Reigns?
It's that he looks at the Wyatts and he says these are the new gods. He thinks that if I tell you that they're important, they're important. Whereas we fans see them lose all the time and go, no, they're not. But since Vince lives in a bubble where he only hears his yes men tell him what he wants to hear, in his mind, he thinks he's doing the right thing.
And speaking of his yes men, one of the last note that I have for the Bree Charlotte match is, God damn it, Kevin Dunn.
The camera angles were god awful. Yeah. That whole show.
I'm not 100% sure what specifically made me say that about that match, but.
Well, during that whole show, we kept saying, oh my God, they missed that spot. Oh my God, they missed that spot.
Yeah,
it was like watching TNA.
Yeah, it really was. Like, cause that's a problem that's plagued TNA for years, too. My only note for, the Brie Charlotte match is just how much I can't stand Brie Bella as a person.
Well, no. Not as a person.
Kind of as a person. Because her entire career is basically based on who she was dating, married to, or related to.
Yeah,
because,
so did,
like,
Triple H.
I don't like her using the yes chant.
Dalton liked it.
I don't like her using the yes chant. Like, at least that made more sense because Daniel Bryan had just retired. And, oh yeah, it's my
support. She even wore his shoes.
But literally, but
those,
like,
fuzzy boot. Nope.
The goat boots.
Nope.
But like a couple months or a year ago or so, the Bellas were heels. Daniel Bryan got injured. And that turned both the Bellas' faces. Because just by association, like, that's how shallow their characters are as, like, a,
yeah,
being,
but,
as they're being presented, like, character-wise, a wrestler being injured can turn them face.
But I think you are making a...
And I also very much hated when she does the yes kicks when she was supposed to be a heel.
But again, I think you are making the mistake of saying, I hate Brie Bella. No, you hate the writing. Brie Bella does what she's told. They plan these spots out. They tell her, use the yes chant, use the yes kicks. They tell her her character. She doesn't say what her character is. She does a performance just like everybody else. So you don't hate Brie Bella. You hate the people that write for Brie Bella.
And, I mean, if you're going to make that argument about Brie Bella, it's kind of a double-sided. It's a double-edged sword, because if you're saying that about one side of the sword, you have to say that about the other side. Because the other person, who was never known as Charlotte Flair in NXT, they mentioned it. It was a thing. But they are making it a hard storyline angle that she is Ric Flair's
daughter. That's her storyline. And again, that's not Charlotte's fault. That's what Vince McMahon says to go do. So I don't think you hate Brie Bella.
I see. And I don't even think, I think Charlotte's character is better than just Ric Flair's daughter.
It is now. But a month ago. You know.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong.
I feel like they get enough leeway, like, in the ring. Like, it's not so scripted out that their every single spot is planned. And maybe it is. And like, especially with like someone like Brie or Nikki Bella, where they,
where they're not, where maybe where they're not Charlotte Flair. They're right. not these people that know how to improv.
So maybe, and maybe I'm wrong, because again, I have no idea, but it just, that has always bothered me about her.
So the character Brie Bella bothers
the,
you.
The Bella characters bother me, and just,
well, like even the Total Divas stuff,
but doing like
her drinking and stuff, even that's an act. It's all scripted.
And that also really pisses me off, that the face, you know, oh, little girls grow up to be Brie Bella, screams out Brie mode in the middle of a match, when what is Brie mode?
Her getting wasted.
Blackout drunk.
Again, scripted. Everything is scripted.
And is it, like, I have to think that.
Any reality show that starts off with written by?
No, yeah. No, reality show, absolutely, that is scripted. But what I'm saying is, like, her in the ring, like, I can't imagine that her yelling Brie mode is that, like, is that micromanaged. Because they can't do that for literally every single person. Like, Dean Ambrose is not that micromanaged that much.
That we know of.
Yeah, that we're aware.
No, it's because he's still doing similar things as, that he was doing as Jon Moxley. You're not telling me that the writer of Raw was like giving him his notes in CZW.
Like, I don't think they had notes in CZW.
It's just not
for
a
the
thing
record.
That was happening.
Yeah.
Then anyway, the next thing is the I wrote New Day face turn to feud with the International House of Douchebags, because I did love that line. But
what, International House of Dumbasses?
No, it was douchebags.
Dumbasses.
I don't know.
It was dumb. I
don't remember if it was.
It was dumb. They wouldn't say douchebags on
I
the air.
I think they did, because I
mean, CM
was
Punk
very
has
surprised.
Said douchebags on
CM the... Punk has more. Well, no, it's Edge and Christian.
Yeah.
All right, fans, you watched it? Maybe let us know in the comments.
But so
I'm sure we'll get a message.
So I thought, like, okay, because they started off kind of
probably
like half
Aaron.
Like half trashing the crowd, but not really. And so I thought, okay, and then they do little barbs with Edge and Christian. Maybe they're just going to wrap it into a. They're going to turn it into just like, oh, now the New Day are faces because the league is such a hated stable.
Yeah.
And then on Raw, literally nothing happens between either of those.
No, in
teams.
Fact, they just fight the Lucha Dragons and Neville, don't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If we
which was a great match. Like, that was, you know,
but
I was,
they're heels again.
And mostly
sort
I was just
of. Tweeners.
Most, see, and they, no, they were, because they actually, they went after the crowd again. And I don't.
It's like they can't decide what to do with the New Day. It's like they want them to be heels. So bad.
Yeah.
But you cannot be a heel New Day. It's impossible. Yeah. They're too likable. They're too funny.
If we had a threesome with Beyonce, this would be our love children.
You would be our love children.
And just Xavier Woods' face of being like, yeah, it'd be fine.
And I thought, like, that was a really well-written segment. Everyone was entertaining in it. Even the
not according to the IWC. The IWC thought.
I am the IWC. We are the IWC.
Yeah, because, like, I even said that in a Facebook group. I was like, I hate the internet wrestling community. I was like, wait a minute. I'm on wrestling pages. I'm on a podcast about wrestling on the internet. I have lived long enough to see myself become the villain.
All right there,
and
Harvey.
Then the only other two things that happened were my prediction of R-Truth is going to turn on Goldust instead of them ever teaming up.
At this point, it has to be after what happened at Fastlane.
No, but on Fastlane, Goldust cost him the match. R-Truth was frustrated. And then on Raw, Goldust offered him a peace offering of a cake. and then R-Truth like shoved it in his face.
How mad would you be if you were Goldust?
This is the writing quality that we have.
Yeah.
You cost me a match, here's a cake. I don't want your cake.
No, it's I cost you a match, I'm sorry, here's a cake that says I'm sorry on it. And then instead he's just like, I don't want your cake.
And then R-Truth said what's up.
Are we really building toward a WrestleMania showdown? So this better not go to WrestleMania. I don't care if it is a filler match, because one, it's WrestleMania. There should be no filler matches.
Agreed.
Two, you're telling me you couldn't give Stardust and Goldust their match at WrestleMania, but you're going to give R-Truth and Goldust?
Absolutely.
You had a story handwritten for you in the stars, no doubt, and you couldn't make that work.
Boo.
But you're going to make Goldust and R-Truth, which is, I don't want to talk
and then
about
the,
it. R-Truth
the,
is not Booker T.
Yeah. And then it was the
Vince. I know they look alike, but they're not the same person. That was a shot at Vince, not black people.
No, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Clarifying.
Vince is racist.
He gave me the face.
And then the main event, which we've.
And I want to talk about that real quick, and then we're going to go to Raw and got a couple other things. But the fact how much booing, how many people turning do you have before Vince McMahon thinks maybe Roman Reigns is not the savior that I want him to be?
And one thing that someone pointed out on Reddit is how, if you go back and rewatch the ending of that, how overproduced was that ending, because they know that he's going to get booed.
Yeah.
They cut the crowd mic. They pumped up his music.
Yeah.
Then they have Triple H come out to maybe get some sort of reaction.
Yeah, a face reaction.
And then immediately cut the mics again, back to music, back to super loud pyro.
Yeah.
Did you notice too the shots that they used?
Close-ups.
It was all real close-ups, like so pretty much like chest up. There were as little fans in the background as possible.
And we called it on PWU, and I know we're not the only people to call it, so I'm not going to take credit like we were the smartest people in the world. But we said Dean Ambrose was in the match just to lose.
Yep. Yeah.
And then all of us thought, well, maybe they're going
to
do something different.
Because the build-up to it made it interesting.
Yeah.
They put Roman Reigns on the back burner, and they really focused on Ambrose and Lesnar. Well, they focused on Ambrose and Lesnar's feud. They focused on Lesnar and Triple H, and they focused on Ambrose and Triple H.
Yeah.
The only person that wasn't really in the mix-up was Roman Reigns.
So, of course, they go with the story that they wanted to go with how many years in a row of Roman Reigns, the conquering hero at WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
It has not worked. It will never work. At this point, I have no doubt in saying Roman Reigns will never get the credit he deserves because the WWE has screwed him for eternity.
Yeah, and
he's done.
You said that during his entrance. You were just like, I don't feel like Roman Reigns deserves the booze he gets. And
he
doesn't. I agree with you.
No, yeah, he absolutely
Roman
doesn't.
Reigns is a solid worker.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns you got to get him better on the mic, but as a wrestler, he is fantastic.
And he has the best of the three.
He could be better on the mic if they gave him better things, like a better script.
Yeah. Again, it's the writing. Yeah. The writing's terrible.
No, I was talking to my buddy Andy, the one from Texas. Or the one that lives in Texas, and I was just, he was like, they need to make him Goldberg. I was like, or they could make him Roman Reigns for the Shield. Remember that guy? The guy that said believe that and walked off?
And just kicked ass?
Yeah. Like, that guy is awesome. And I want him to be my WWE champion, not this Roman Reigns. I want that guy.
And so, us talking about Roman Reigns being booed, let's fast forward to the main event of Raw. He wants to go check on Dean Ambrose. Stephanie tells me he has a match with Sheamus, and you better watch out because all of the League of Nations is going to be ringside. Which one? Why the fuck should he worry? Dang.
He's
I did
beaten,
so good about not saying it.
He's beaten all of them
when he literally,
repeatedly.
When he literally beat all four of them in a handicap match.
Yeah.
Why should he be worried? Anyway, so then you have Triple H coming out, completely stealing Bubba Ray's bit of, do you know who I am?
Yeah.
Like, and let me remind you who I am. Comes out in the leather jacket and the t-shirt and his fists all taped up. Which then the League of Nations disappears. Like, why wouldn't you help Triple H be, I don't. So the League of Nations vanishes. Triple H then just repeatedly smashes
Johnny Cage fatality.
The Johnny
style.
Cage
yeah.
fatality into the yeah. busts his nose open.
Well, did you see the video?
Yeah.
Of Byron Saxton handing the blood capsule.
Yeah. yeah. But still, it's a great visual and
it was.
But what does it result in?
It's gonna get Roman Reigns off the TV for a few weeks.
No. What does it result in? What was the reaction to that?
Oh,
to Roman Reigns.
Triple H getting cheered for
Triple
his actions.
Triple H getting wildly cheered.
Yeah.
I don't.
You say flash forward to Raw. Fast forward to WrestleMania. When you know Roman Reigns is going to win,
right.
and you know that crowd is going to boo him out of the building.
And Triple H even did the suck it thing. He didn't do that knowing people were going to boo him.
He knows it's getting cheered.
Anytime DX is referenced, it gets cheered.
And they know it is because, all right, let's get past Fastlane. We've only got about 20 minutes left because we talked about Fastlane way more than I meant to. But it's okay. Let's talk about the big thing on Raw,
mm-hmm.
which was Shane McMahon came back. And I don't know where to start on this because, one, it's great to see Shane McMahon again. I love Shane McMahon. He's the best McMahon among them. Dalton, are you shaking your head no or are you agreeing here?
I want to do a Dalton dumb booking at the end of the show, but I'm super happy to see Shane.
The problem with Shane coming back, and Asa Miyu and a fan that comes in here of the show and wrestling fan Cody, mm-hmm. we talked about this earlier. It's that Shane McMahon says in his promo that they have run the company into the ground. The numbers are down. He basically went over all the things we complain about.
And it was a really weird thing too, because the way they did that is because the Vince J. McMahon
Legacy Award
went
to
Stephanie, which I was wrong because I said it was going to be Triple H. But so it goes to
well, that would have made more sense.
Yeah.
But that's what you need whenever the WrestleMania is floundering. You know what you need to save WrestleMania? More McMahons. A McMahon in every corner.
And that's because that worked so well the first time.
Wait a second.
Triggered.
And so my biggest problem with it is Vince, like, he gives Stephanie this award because of how great she's done. Shane comes out and says the ratings are down. Pay-per-view buys are down. Merchandise sales are down. Like, everything, he's just saying all these negatives about the company. Stephanie is like, well, he doesn't even know what he's talking about. Vince doesn't correct her. We'll talk in the back. Well, he's very somber. Like, okay, so one, you're acknowledging that that's true. If that's the case, why are you giving her this award?
Yeah.
About doing such a great job.
And
it's because he didn't think about the prodigal son coming back and just wrecking his stuff.
Well, my
but even still, he's aware of these problems. His reaction wasn't, wait, is this true? What are you talking about? Are our ratings lower? No, he's just like, really kind of like the embarrassed Vince. Like
they had a chance to do a Simpsons style thing where Mr. Burns says he's worth this much money, and Lisa says, actually, according to your book, you're only worth this much. He had no idea he was losing money. But apparently Vince did and didn't mind.
Right. And instead decided to reward Stephanie.
It's like those companies that had to get bailouts and then gave bonuses to the people that needed bailouts.
Yeah.
But what upsets me the most about this is that you have Shane McMahon as a character coming on television and pointing out real life problems with the company, which means that they know what these real life problems are, which means that instead of fixing these real life problems, they're bringing in people to talk about the real life problems in an angle that's just going to further the problem.
Yep.
It's like Inception for motherfuckers. Fuck it. I'm fucking angry now.
Fuck
SportsCenter. Wow. I'm pissed.
There goes everything.
It literally makes it's yeah. And so,
it's so baffling.
Well, so
and
happy,
one of the things too is that he says, like, so Shane McMahon, you know, he didn't come, he doesn't want money, he doesn't want this. What he wants is absolute control of Monday Night Raw.
Yes.
And I have to imagine that was a very particularly worded segment.
Because now,
well, and I think the rumor came from that segment. I don't think it was a thing beforehand.
Well, they say backstage sources, they always say that, and I don't see them doing it, but the rumor is that they're going to bring back the brand extension. Now, Ali, the brand extension, whenever Raw and SmackDown was their own shows, they literally split the roster.
Well, then they still are their own shows, but basically, John Cena was only on Raw.
Yeah.
He would never be on SmackDown. Randy Orton was always on SmackDown. He would never be on Raw.
They were basically their own federation.
Yeah, there was basically
within
their
the
own
same federation.
It would be like they kind of redid the WWE and WCW.
It was like Jackson Gaming Grounds and Cape Gaming Grounds. Same company, but different people at the different stores, different entities. And that died finally, which everybody was kind of happy about because you like it, Dalton?
Towards the end, if you go back to like 2003 to 2007, you had the best era in wrestling because you had Monday Night Raw that was like kind of your land of the giants, and then you'd have SmackDown, which had your Rey Mysterios, had your Kofi Kingstons, had your CM Punks.
Raw was very much the entertainment show. SmackDown was the wrestling show.
It's like WWE and NXT.
It really is.
Now, Ali, if I could make you sit down and watch like a SmackDown from 2002, whenever it was Lesnar and Angle, and this is why I'm not really happy with this WrestleMania, because they used to have like they would legitimately have storylines run from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. Now, remember when Royal Rumble was and when WrestleMania was going to be is the same length of time. They had a story that was building every week and it never got stale because they would build on it compared to now where we have to make a whole WrestleMania in 6 weeks.
They had to find an opponent for The Undertaker in 6 weeks. And the opponent that they chose was Shane McMahon.
Because that was the thing. Shane says that he wants control of Monday Night Raw. Vince McMahon says, okay, if you win your match, but I say who you're fighting.
Well, did he even say that? It sounded like all he said was you have to wrestle a match.
Everything else that I've read has said that he has to win it.
Okay, well, that makes more sense.
Which makes way more sense.
Because I thought, well, because
he did say you have to wrestle one more match.
Yeah.
Because if it turns out to be, oh, no, just sort of like.
Just wrestle, win or lose. Yeah. That would be pointless and stupid, which means they'll probably do it.
Right. And he's like, I'm going to name the time and your opponent. And clearly everyone knew it was going to be at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of expected them to draw that out longer because, like, as he was leaving there, he's like, oh, it's going to be at WrestleMania. And your opponent is going to be The Undertaker.
Which goes to show me that the reason they didn't drag it out and build suspense is because they are at breakneck speed now trying to get people excited for WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Because they know Triple H versus Roman Reigns is not going to sell WrestleMania.
And
in what world would it?
And I almost feel bad for Triple H because this is another WrestleMania that he's probably going to be in the main event championship match and it shouldn't be the main event.
No.
You have to assume that the stakes of the ownership of the company are more more important than the actual championship.
Yeah, but how do you get through this WrestleMania without it seeming like someone's ego is beyond control? Because if you put Triple H at the main event, people are going to say, oh God, 50-year-old Triple H, who has no business being champion, is in the main event of WrestleMania again, just like he was because he was married to Stephanie. Mm-hmm. Or you put Shane McMahon in the main event of WrestleMania after 6 years of not being on TV versus The Undertaker. And you try to tell me that that's not ego-driven.
Well, and here's my thing that we talked about a little bit earlier, is I don't think that's going to be a match.
It can't be.
Because it's going to be in Hell in a Cell. It's Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker.
That's the only thing I can think of is they do keep Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker, but Shane McMahon brings in somebody to beat up The Undertaker for him in the match.
Yeah, it turns it into like a handicap match.
Turns it into a handicap match. That's the only way they can do this.
Here's the problem with it is Undertaker is going to be on is fighting for Vince McMahon. As much as Triple H is going to
Dalton's already covering his head.
Because as much as
no wheels are turning.
As much as Triple H is going to be cheered against Roman Reigns, Vince McMahon is the ultimate authority figure. He is going to get booed. His representative is going to get booed. Undertaker is not going to be booed at WrestleMania in Texas. Dallas, his home state.
Nor would Undertaker fight for Vince McMahon.
And that's what I'm saying is I think Undertaker comes out, he says, Vince, I respect you as a business owner and what you've done and building this company, but Shane is right. I'm not wrestling for you. I'm going to wrestle for him. Then Vince has to find his champion to,
I have a surprise. I have a surprise.
Did your source talk to you?
My source in the WWE has told me the outcome of the match. I'm going to tell you guys right now. Mm-hmm. You heard Spoiler this first alert. On Podzilla 1985. Shane McMahon comes out, says he found someone to fight The Undertaker. The only person that will get The Undertaker booed versus him, Hulk Hogan.
Okay, so no.
Comes back at WrestleMania to fight The Undertaker.
But say they do Shane McMahon versus The Undertaker. What a way to piss on Brock Lesnar. And Bray Wyatt and every other person.
Every other wrestler.
Who's
fought The Undertaker.
Right. Especially if it ends up with Shane winning. Like, what?
Especially if it ends up with Shane going toe to toe with The Undertaker. That's what I'm scared of.
Yeah.
Like, I imagine they will find some bullshit way to have Shane McMahon beat The Undertaker if they go that way.
Yeah.
But if Shane McMahon, even for a second, stands face to face with The Undertaker and trades shots with him, I will stop watching wrestling. Because that is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. This, 45, 50 year old businessman going up against
Has not been in a ring in over 6 years.
And even when he was in the ring, was never a wrestler. He was a businessman who wrestled. That's different. And you have him go up against the Phenom, the biggest name in wrestling history. And you have him go toe to toe with him. Trading shots?
Yeah.
Bullshit.
You can't. And that's why
Shark got jumped so fucking high.
And that's why I'm so convinced that it's gonna end up being Undertaker and someone else. I know the big rumor going around online is that John Cena is like doing nothing but training inside of a hyperbaric time chamber.
He's in that same capsule that Vegeta trained in.
Yeah. He's just getting ready to get on planet Namek, just being like, I'm gonna get him. Yeah. I'm gonna get him. Just throwing stuff around, running around the capsule.
I think Big Match John was even trending on Twitter for a while. Because, and I don't. I don't know.
This would be perfect for the Bullet Club to get set up. Carl Anderson, Doc Gallows.
I mean, honestly, hearing that, yeah, I'm on board. I'm legitimately like Shane McMahon just hires these like outside guns. But then, who's the heel? Are the Bullet Club faces? Because I swear to God, I will quit this show. If we go from heel authority to heel Shane McMahon authority.
Oh yeah. And it'll happen eventually no matter what. And it will happen.
Oh no. And I don't mean like eventually, like the eventual Shane heel turn.
You mean just immediate heel turn.
I just mean immediate, like before this build is over. If they try to turn Vince face.
Like they did with the WCW angle.
Yeah.
Well, Dalton, I also like your theory in theory, but here's the problem with that. Do you think Vince McMahon is going to trust the Bullet Club to put down the Undertaker at WrestleMania?
I mean, we always said that the person who ended the streak was going to be some, like, young guy, some unproven person.
So, of course,
person.
It was Brock Lesnar.
And then we were wrong because it was Brock Lesnar. So, I mean, I don't know anymore.
Yeah, but I don't think Vince McMahon is going to look at The Undertaker, the biggest name in WrestleMania, and go, let's put these guys who've never worked for us and Luke Gallows, and let's have them beat The Undertaker up.
Thanks for that, buddy. I appreciate it.
I don't see it.
Who better to put down The Undertaker?
Kane.
Than the other fake Kane.
Oh, good
Luke,
point. Yeah.
That was a deep pool. Luke Gallows, whatever he's.
That was a 3 week deal.
Yeah. Oh man, he did not like that at all.
It's a good theory, but it won't happen because I don't think Vince McMahon is ready. Yeah. He's not ready to let go of that old stuff, man.
The one thing that whenever I said, let me have Dalton's stupid booking of the week.
That wasn't it.
No. I just thought of it was not do the Undertaker match because I think that's more sacred. It shouldn't be a McMahon versus McMahon thing. But
that's the other thing.
Do we need McMahon versus McMahon again at WrestleMania?
2016.
I'm fine with it in WrestleMania because, like, you know what? Trump puts his name on all of his buildings. As long as it's not McMahonomania, I'm fine with it.
It is McMahon-a-mania, though.
Well, but it's not the name. but do the same exact angle. Shane has, I don't know, Vince in some compromising situation with Hogan and Bubba the Love Sponge's wife. That's what's in the box.
What box?
Don't worry about it.
Shane has some sort of lockbox.
He legitimately has a lockbox.
He has a lockbox that has some sort of embarrassing Vince McMahon secret, and that's what he's holding over him.
I've seen wrestling for the past 20 years. Everything Vince McMahon has done has been embarrassing, has been on TV.
Right.
So
like, I have video of you calling John Cena the N-word. Yeah, we all do. It's on the network.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't.
So, they do the same exact angle. Vince McMahon's just like, you're going to wrestle somebody at WrestleMania, and it's going to be the League of Nations. You have so long to put this, because I mean that's the big stable, and they're not doing anything with them. So you got four big guys to wrestle Shane McMahon and three of his choosing, and Shane McMahon's like, "Well, I'm gonna find a League of Nations of my own," and he goes to NXT, and he gets Finn Balor from Ireland, he gets Sami Zayn from Canada, and like the four other backgrounds he has, and gets. Help me out. Who's another?
Samoa Joe.
You could do Samoa Joe.
Joe's not foreign.
Well, I mean.
Vince McMahon doesn't know that. Oh, that's true. I guarantee
you. I'm pretty sure he's a...
And that'll be the heel turn.
He's a generation away from having a bone in his nose.
Yeah,
it was two generations in
my
their
bad,
defense.
My bad, Vince.
And I don't know, fill in a third person who I just can't think of.
Uha Nation.
Uha Nation, yeah.
He's black. He's from Africa.
But, and then that's...
Apollo Crews. NXT
Cruz
game.
Yeah. And then you have like, then you get to showcase three upstarts against three really established, but three really good wrestlers.
And honestly, that's how he could bring in Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows. It's just like, I go outside and like, I can
to fight the League of Nations.
Well, no, he gets AJ Styles and he's just like, I don't need anybody. I have AJ Styles in my corner.
Right.
We can put all four of you down.
And his new best friend, Y2J.
I was going to say, you keep acting like they're going to go with something.
Well, they're not going to.
Or new.
Right. No,
but they're
going
to go with the safe answer.
Yeah.
But how?
Which. I also, something else that happened on Raw that's huge that we really need to talk about is the Dean Ambrose Brock Lesnar thing, but keep going.
Well, you got 5 minutes.
That's
so hurry
fine.
Up.
You hurry up
so,
and finish, and then we'll go.
That's a good way to put in Finn Balor, Sami Zayn, and insert name here. Apollo Crews would be a good one, or do the Bullet Club, and that would finally get AJ Styles established.
The Finn Balor thing I don't think will work, just because they don't want to bring NXT up on WrestleMania to outshow them. The Bullet Club thing is a possibility.
Then they
though.
Shouldn't be having a NXT special the night before WrestleMania.
I have my friend in Dallas. He's just like, I could get WrestleMania tickets or I could get TakeOver tickets, and I'm really leaning towards TakeOver.
As much as I'd rather see TakeOver, if I had the chance to go to WrestleMania,
I was at WrestleMania 27, one of the worst WrestleManias there was, and it was still just a blast.
This is one of those guys that's just like, I am not a sports entertainment fan. I am a professional wrestling fan. So he
still,
may
there's
take,
something to be said about the spectacle.
Yeah, I've never been to WrestleMania. So
speaking of which, we are changing the name of Pro Wrestling Unscripted next week to Pro Entertainment Unscripted, so it's going to be PU. Just like WWE. I've been waiting all night to do that. Joke.
Speaking of PU, Brock Lesnar versus Dean Ambrose. Let's
Why
talk
is
about
this the WrestleMania match?
Because, well, and I actually had a theory whenever we saw Roman Reigns lose. I wanted to see Dean Ambrose, because still assuming that Bray Wyatt, that Brock Lesnar was going to be the thing, which looks like that got scrapped.
Yep.
I thought Dean Ambrose was going to come out on Monday. He's ready to fight. He just wants, like, he doesn't care who. I need to take out all of this frustration on someone I wanted at WrestleMania. Bring it on, whoever. Lights go out, gong hits, Dean Ambrose, Undertaker. I'd watch that match.
I'd watch it too.
But, don't get me wrong, I'm super excited about Dean Ambrose, Brock Lesnar. I think that's going to be a great match. I can't wait for more, that promo by Paul Heyman.
I can't wait.
Brock Lesnar is the god of righteous vengeance. Oh my, yeah, so good.
And it makes sense considering the ending to the show.
Right.
I can't wait to see Brock Lesnar beat Dean Ambrose at WrestleMania.
I think Dean Ambrose is going to be, it doesn't matter who wins that match to me. It's the fact that Dean Ambrose is going to have a 100% career making superstar cementing performance. And it won't matter because he's not Roman Reigns. So he's going to steal the show at WrestleMania, the biggest show they have, and then continue to probably do nothing but feud for the IC or US Championship. And they're going to squander him like they have squandered so many other people. And it legitimately, like, I had that realization watching Raw. Like, he's going to absolutely kill it at WrestleMania. That is going to be the feud to watch. Is Paul Heyman and Dean Ambrose promo battles? Are you kidding me?
Can I throw this out there? Ambrose, CM Punk 2.0?
Yeah. I mean,
In the sense that even when Dean Ambrose steals the show, he's never top of the card. Remember when CM Punk was
world champion,
and never main evented?
In the way that they treat him, yes, but I don't think they could be more different.
Not in
like
terms
character
of
wise,
character-wise,
and
even, just in the treatment.
And even performer-wise, but yes, absolutely in the treatment. And it, like, I'm watching this and I'm watching Brock Lesnar step on his head as he walks over him and him still trying to get up, because that's going to be the story of the match, is that it's a street fight. Lesnar's not going to be able to keep Ambrose down. That's going to be the story. Ambrose is not going to quit. He is going to be probably one of the biggest baby faces in the company coming out of WrestleMania. I would stake money on it.
You know what this could be? Undertaker versus Mankind. Mick Foley. When Undertaker beat Mankind, threw him off stuff, threw him through tables, threw him off cages, and he kept going, and he came out of that as one of the biggest stars WWE has ever had.
Yep.
They could do the same thing if they play their cards
but
right.
But I think the difference is, look at the era of WWE then, look at the era of WWE now. Then, absolutely, Stone Cold, The Rock, Mankind, these guys could go out, do their own thing. They were given the opportunity to become popular with the crowd. And it didn't matter. It almost felt like it didn't matter who Vince personally liked, because they recognized how good these guys are and how much the crowd responded to them. And then, okay, that's who we'll build the show around. Versus now, oh, you know, hey, so Brock, listen, we're going to cut your match down to about 5 minutes because we got this big Roman Reigns match. We can't really have you guys outshining them.
We need more Roman. And the Roman Empire.
It's just like, I'm sitting there watching it, and I'm also at the pay-per-view, they said the Roman Empire is on fire or on Raw. And I'm like, that shouldn't be a good thing.
Yeah. You never want your empire to be on fire.
it legitimately disheartened me watching Raw. Just having that realization, like, wow, this is what they're going to do to him.
I'm not excited for WrestleMania. Go back and listen to the very first Podzilla 1985 podcast. It was about WrestleMania. It was the preview show. And I said that I wasn't excited for this WrestleMania. I'm not excited for this WrestleMania. Why is it that they can't put together a WrestleMania that gets me excited? Am I too old? Am I too jaded? Is this more for the people now? Is this for the Chris Edelmans and the people that are new to wrestling, that the people that don't have that same bitterness that we all have, minus Allie? She just has a bitterness in general towards life, towards wrestling.
I hate them.
I don't know. I really do feel like that the whole anything can happen era of WWE is kind of over.
It's dead.
Every segment of...
Except for Raw, where Vince McMahon said something like, you were going to fuck with me for the live crowd, which is censored. And I wanted to talk about that because I think that's so ridiculous. For a man that gets so upset when people do stuff that isn't PG and he suspends people and does this and that, to then go out and say the F word on Raw...
I still didn't see that. The only part I saw that... Because it took me literally 30 minutes to get a good stream. Watching on my laptop. So I missed Shane McMahon coming out. I was just reading updates while I was trying to figure out why I could not get video to load.
Yeah.
So there was a part where Vince was in the middle of talking and the audio cut out, and I just assumed it was a fan yelling something that the mic picked up that they had to cut.
Oh no, let's do it on one before we leave. But yeah, Vince full on said the F word. And I love when they send messages to the other wrestlers of, don't do this. But Vince is going to go do it real quick. Whatever. That's all the time we got. We're over. Dalton, you got.
Let's just I'm not going to do an outro. I just want to know that this is the first Podzilla 1985 podcast where Dalton Manch did not say any profanities. I made a whole show. You guys should be ashamed.
I had one.
I mean, I had a bunch.
I had the one that I caught.
Triggered it, yeah.
I didn't want to cuss, but man, this is so enraging.
Yeah.
The way that they booked this show now.
Yeah.
And have been for an entire year.
And it's one of those things where I don't know anymore. Like I said, because we've gone on record as saying really the only reason we watch is because of the show, and I don't think it's gonna be worth it after.
I want to see what happens at WrestleMania. Remember last year when we all knew Roman Reigns was gonna win the title,
mm-hmm.
and then Seth Rollins won, and we were legitimately surprised and happy.
But
there's no money in the bank.
Money in the bank isn't on the table. There is no.
But let's see what happens. Let's see what happens. We're on the road to WrestleMania. We got a month, I think, before it's time.
6 weeks.
6 weeks. So let's see what happens. I hope they can pull it out. I highly doubt it. We'll talk more about it next week. We'll see what happens on Raw. We'll cover something other than WWE. We'll be back on the next show. Dalton, Asa, Allie, thanks for being here. Thank you guys for listening. Allie, take us out.
Bye.
Nope. Asa, take us out.
No.
No.
No. No.
No.
No. No.